Amen, amen, amen. Wow, wow, wow. That is so powerful. Just want to say it's good to be here. Feel like I'm amongst family. Amen? Amen. Wow. Just want to thank your pastor, Dr. Bushner, for letting me pitch it, so to say, as he's out in the field doing what he does best, delivering the word. I'm Elder Dan Smith. Dr. Bushner's like family, too. So it's a blessing to be here. I was just here not too long ago. What was it? Family Life Day. And you guys had some great food, some great speakers. Oof. This is a good place to be. What's up, Beck? My wife. I'm glad she's here. I'm seeing Marty. Marty, my friend. Oh, wow. International Christian Film Festival. President, El Presidente. He's all over the place, all over the world, and he just chooses to just lay back, kick back, and just be here. Thank you. It's good seeing you. Always good seeing you. So I want to pray, and we're going to get into the Word. Dear kind Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us the ability to surrender everything to you, Lord. So we're here. We ask that you be with us at this moment, at this time, when we break bread to learn more about you. This is my prayer. I do ask in thy son, Jesus Christ's name, Lord, and for his sake. Amen. Amen. What's up, Ploche? Good friend. Like I said, I feel like I'm at home. I could just go around. So anyway, could you all read with me? You have that ready. John 3. 1 through 7, John 3, 1 through 7. Okay. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into... Okay, Jesus and... Okay, I got to follow... Gotta follow, gotta do the word right. Say that again. Okay. All right, okay. Jesus, when you're in doubt, because you got it on two sides. Let's take it from the top. Can you do that, sir? There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a leader, a teacher, come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again, because with all things, with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. So here we go. I'm glad we have a lot of health professionals in the building. We have our slide going on here. There we go. Technology. I'm looking at that screen, but it's behind me. So, all of you all mothers and fathers probably can remember when your wife or when your, you know, when your child was born, you got that news, and there were periods. It's this three trimesters. Let me see the hands of some medical professionals here. All right, Cara, all right. Okay, good, good, good. So we're getting it right so far, right? It's good, right? Okay. I got a nursing background myself, so. So Nicodemus asks, a question because, he probably didn't know the science of things, but he probably had some children and knew or saw people who were, some of the ladies who were pregnant, they're going through their first trimester. And, I even hear that sometimes there's this phenomenon that the men kind of experience the same symptoms as the ladies. They have the morning sickness. Is that true? Any fathers in here? Did you, eat with your wife when she had those cravings? Did you get big too? Yay, nay, maybe? Marty, did you? So I'm sure it was just a strange thing for Nicodemus, to go through these three stages up to the 9 month, and then, then there's the birth. So in Nicodemus' mind, this was the cycle of life. Someone's born, and and he was up in age. So he was probably saying, well, this is what I know, what usually happens. So how can one be born again? So the title of my sermon is, You're Never Too Old to Be Born Again. You're never too old to be born again. So with Nicodemus' question, which was legit, he had a conversation with God. Little did he at the time, he didn't know he had a conversation with God. See, but there was just certain things about Nicodemus. In his journey, his spiritual journey, he had certain things he probably, he had to consider. Nicodemus, for one thing, he was a man of influence. He was part of the Sanhedrin. He was a Pharisee. I would say he was a social influencer of his time. A lot of prestige. The Sanhedrin, that was the high council of the time. He was rich. So, even his name in Greek meant ruler over people. So he had this, he heard about Jesus. He heard all the complaints about Jesus. He heard about him performing miracles. He was doing all these things. And instead of him getting mad like some of the other Sanhedrins, well, he was curious. He was wondering. He was like, wow, all these signs, all these things. I want to meet him. I want to talk to Jesus. So as the story goes, Nicodemus met Jesus. But he met him, there's a candlelight. He met him by night. He didn't go to him in the daytime. It was by night. Well, he went to him by night because he didn't want to arouse the suspicion of the other influencers or the other important people of that time and in that area. So he's you know, I could just imagine. He's like, Jesus, how can one be born again as old as I am? What are you talking about? But I hear these things. I've heard that you perform miracles. People have come to me. So don't get me wrong. I think you're a good man. And you must be from God. But the question is, how can I be born again? And Jesus was saying, you must be born in the spirit, not of the flesh. Nicodemus was like, wow, the spirit. How can that happen? So the question for us, how can we be born in the spirit, washed in the blood of Christ? Well, I'm sure a lot of us would like to be born again in some type of way. I'm sure we see ourselves not probably as who we are, but of how we used to be or how we could be. I remember not too long ago, I think one of your elders, Sherwin, married to Lisa, we used to play flag football not too far from here on Redbug Park, not on Redbug Road. I was fast, and so was Sherwin, you know. But, you know, what we saw in our age did not reflect what was happening on the field. I remember, people would get hurt every time we went out there on that field. Somebody pulled a muscle in their back. I pulled a muscle in my calves. It was just all the time. We thought we were just, back in the day, we were good sports athletes and all that, but time catches up with you and reality kicks in. But we all can still become new creatures. We can be born again. God can replenish us. We know we see ourselves. God sees us for what we are, potential, not who we are right then and there. So I can just imagine Nicodemus looking in the mirror like, you know, wow, I can be born again. That means I have a newness. When you hear about being born, rebirth, you think about renewing, being fresh, having the energy as the little ones, you know? Like when you take care of your little ones and you just wonder, where the heck do they get that energy from? I mean, from sun up to sun down, they're just doing stuff, always back and forth, you know? And you're like, what in the world? So I wish I had that energy. It's like, if you could bottle it and sell it, you'll be rich. But God lets us know that he wants to restore, renew in us the spirit. It's like, I want that. I want that. Nicodemus, he wanted that. God said, you can have that. Nicodemus was like, he knew it could be. He believed him, but he wanted that experience. But I believe when Nicodemus met Jesus, he had this encounter, a changing encounter with him. I think when any of us meet Jesus, we have an encounter with him that changes us, that sparks our curiosity, because Jesus knows us. He knows the potential, and he sees that picture of us in the mirror. He sees our potential. He knows the mission that he has laid out for us. We just have to come to him as we are. Although Nicodemus, he came in the night, at least he came to Jesus. Some of us, we have a problem with coming to Jesus. We have it with issues because we may have a high position. We may be a great influencer. We may, you know, we may be a CEO, or even we may be in a place where people will look at us a certain way if we claim the need for something bigger than us. Because that makes us vulnerable. Who wants to be vulnerable? Who wants to admit that there's something going on within that we're not all what we think we are? We all have a need. But Jesus doesn't judge us, but he fulfills us. He sees the need, and he sees what's deep down inside. He sees our burdens. He sees our cares, and he wants to fill that empty space that we're longing for only through Christ. And I would say Nicodemus had a close encounter of the God kind. Playing on words anyway. Because when he met Jesus, he started his road to conversion. 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 That's the whole issue. Conversion means that you can be changed. When you become changed, you can become complete. How many of us want to be complete? Complete in Jesus. How many of us know that there's potential in us that we've been trying to get out, but it's just not there. It's just not lacking. Or even if we have so-called arrived, that we're still empty. We're empty. There's something that's empty. We may have the money and the prestige, but there is a space when we're alone by ourselves in the night, in the dark. You may start to weep and cry. I have a neighbor. I'll great guy. I'll share this experience. Neighbor of mine. He was a semi-professional golfer. He makes golf clubs. He designs golf courses, and he's always talking about he's almost on the brink of the breakthrough. He's been on the Golf Channel. He's courting people that love his designs, and they want to promote him. So we were talking, and he was just talking about this opportunity, that was coming, and he was just so happy, and just, oh, it's going to bring so much money in. And he said to me, you know, Dan, this is great, but I feel a lacking in my life, and I've been disconnected, and things have not been going well with my family. And I just need prayer. And he just started weeping right there in front of me on the street, public. He just became vulnerable. What do you do? What do you do? You know, when you're in that situation, you know, you're wow. When, you know, you think someone has it all, and he definitely has it all, but he just, he said that there was an emptiness in his life that's just interfering with his relationship with his family, and he just didn't know what to do. I mean, it was heart-wrenching. Big, strong man, workout, being vulnerable at that time. Hey, only thing I could do was just pray with him. Pray with him. And just let him know that God hears and God answers. So with us, we have these encounters. We have these needs. And just like Nicodemus, Nicodemus had it all. I read somewhere that he was so rich that he could feed the town for a whole year for every day. He had that much wealth and influence, but he still lacked something, and he wanted that spiritual awakeness, that spiritual encounter with Christ. And Christ said, I can give this to you. The Spirit, praying for the Spirit. He got the Spirit. God sent him that answer to his question to be born again. You have to be born again. That means you have to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. That means you have to repent. So Nicodemus was like, well, repent, but I'm good. I'm good as I am, just as I am. Repent, I am the Sanhedrin. I'm part of the Sanhedrin, the great council. But we, in our goodness, no matter how good we are, how good we smell, how great we dress, we're still sinful creatures. And all of our righteousness is like filthy rags. And when we realize that, and it's not a matter, because Nicodemus, he did everything that he was supposed to. He followed all the rules, but he still wasn't righteous, but he was a Pharisee. They were the elite. So when you come to that realization that I'm not all that, I do need Christ, I'm going to repent. What am I repenting for? Sins, past sins, sins that I may have offended somebody and don't even know it. So you want to come to Jesus just as you are, knowing that you have a need because we're sinful, and you repent. And when you do that, you're uplifted. You feel like the burden has been released. And when you repent and you go through this process of baptism. Wow, baptism. What, do I need to be baptized? Me? Why do I need to go down in the water? Why should I do that? Are we too bougie sometimes to be baptized? Some people say, I get it. I can do all those things, but do I really need to go through the baptism process? Do I need to take my clothes off and put on something and get dunked in the water and come back up? What is that? I mean, is that really necessary? Well, ask yourself, if Jesus did it without sin, who are we? Unless we just don't want to do it and we don't want to be saved. If we don't want to be, that's all I can think of. But the baptism represents burying the old person and coming up new and refreshed. And that's the promise. That is the promise. The promise of being made new, made whole. We see the Advent Health commercials, made whole, be whole. Great commercials. Great, that's what we want. We want to be whole. We want to live a complete life, and that's what Christ offers: a complete life. He offers that completeness when we come to Him, when we see our need, when we move and act on those things. Because when we do, we are being a living example to others who may look up to us. Believe it or not, we are a story We are an open book, believe it or not, to a lot of people that's in our circle, in our sphere of influence. And there are people who look up to us. Your children look up to you. So the things that you do, the examples that you set, make a difference. You know, when you stand before Christ, and you know, there's said, you know, there's this passage where it says, you know, hey, I did all these things in your name, but they say, get behind me because I never knew you. You never visited the sick, or you never did this. The things that we do outwardly, the influence, how we treat others, people who are not important. I mean, do someone have to be important to give them respect? One time, I'm being transparent. I like to be transparent sometimes. there was someone, friend, family friend. We would all get together sometime. We would go to the beach and do a big cookout, and a bunch of us, you know, great times. So I was in a conversation, and then I saw someone that I knew, and I said, "Oh, hey, how's it going?" I went right by that person, and just, you know, I didn't maliciously mean to do that, didn't speak to the person, but that other person came to me and said, "You know, Daniel, you hurt my feelings." I said, "What'd I do? What'd I do? What? You went right by me and didn't speak to me." I was like, and it's like I saw her out my peripheral. I did see her, but it just was not registering. I was like, "Lord, you know I'm not like that." That's the most, I hate that feeling when someone, she was strong enough to call me out and say, "Daniel," because she was hurt. She knew me. She knew you a certain way. And it's like, hey, you know, we're yucking it up on the beach and everything. And then, you know, it's like, hey, you know, it's like I go right by her and, you know, we don't want that. Would we want Christ to do that to us? No, we have to be careful. Be mindful of everyone as best we can. Of course, we're human. I'm not going to use the human tendency to get out of it, but, you know, it happens. But if you can make the correction, make the correction. Some people don't want to make the correction. They're like, well, hey, you know, they can excuse their self out of anything. Any wrong, there's an excuse, anything. God does not want that from us. He wants us to recognize. That's what repentance is all about. Reconciliation. Be reconciled with one another. Reconciliation with your spouse. Reconciliation with your family member. Reconciliation with your neighbor. I mean, we can't make it to heaven thinking just because we do all of these fundamental beliefs, but we can't have a relationship with our person in our household. There's people that I know, they've been feuding with some family member for ages. They say, "Well, so-and-so didn't speak to me at this funeral, and I'm never going to speak to them again." Or "I didn't like how my grandmother gave this piece of furniture to so-and-so. They knew I loved it, but they didn't give it to me." And I'm talking about the feud goes on and on. And I know people that way, and they're hurt, and they're not forgiving. But they preach, hey, they come to church every Sabbath, every Sunday, you know, hey, you know, we're here. Come on now. You can't expect to make it. Do you really expect to make it in if you can't be reconciled? Reconciliation is hard. You know, even if the person offended you, you don't have to wait until they say that they're sorry to you. Sometimes it takes us to reach out to them to say, "If I offended you in some type of way, I apologize. It wasn't intentional." What they do after that, that's them. But it's up to you. your Christian duty, your Christian responsibility to reach out to them. I'm saying this because I've experienced it. I've known family members who are still feuding over, you know, we would say it's dumb stuff, but it touched them so much and it hurt them so deeply. If they were treated a certain way when they were younger coming up, if they were shown favoritism over the other sibling, that follows us through life. But we have to be born again, and move on, and to have that actualization and realization of that person in the mirror, you have to let that go. You have to let that old hurt go. You have to let it go. Give it to God, because we can't handle it in ourselves, because we have human tendencies. If somebody step on my foot, I'm ready to, But through Christ, who strengthens us, we can be changed. We can be forgiving. There's, we can say, well, there's institutions that are at it with each other. That's the institutions. But we have a responsibility to ourselves to be reconciled with our brothers. Because if we want forgiveness, we have to first show that we can forgive. So where there's life, there's hope. We can begin again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We can be new. You're never too old to be born again. You can do this. Hey, if there's a project, if there's a business, and if you've been waiting, do it. Just do it. Nike has gotten rich off of that. Just do it. I mean, if there's an idea that God has planted in your heart, you can do it. It's within you to do it. You're never too old or too young. If God has blessed you with a vision to do something and you're young, grab on to it. Take incremental steps. You can achieve it. Here's a favorite saying. I'm sure it's from Africa. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. That's right. Can't eat the whole thing. It's one bite at a time. So that's what we must do. I love it because, it's like this Christian thing, this God walk, it's deep, but it's true. It's true. Being renewed, we wonder how we can make ourselves new again. My wife, she loves to watch, what is it, HGTV. If, she can go to sleep watching that, watching the home shows, what they're doing. I'm like, oh, here we go again, But just think, we have the ability for God to HGTV us. Yes. Or DIY us. But we can't DIY us. No, we can't DIY. But we can let God change us, transform us. That's coming to Him, letting Him renew us in the Spirit. I love what Auntie Ellen wrote, and I'm gonna read this. And she talks about Nicodemus, and this is what she says. Nicodemus searched the Scriptures in a new way. Not for the discussion of a theory, but in order to receive life for the soul, he began to see the kingdom of heaven as he submitted himself to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Through faith, we receive grace of God, but faith is not our savior. It earns nothing. It is the hand by which we lay hold upon Christ and appropriate his merits. The remedy for sin, repentance, comes from Christ as truly as does pardon. Repentance. Oh, I have to read this. I'll finish this thought. How then are we to be saved? We ask the question, how then are we to be saved? As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man has been lifted up. And everyone who has been deceived and bitten by the serpent may look and live. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, John 1:29, the light shining from the cross reveals the love of God. His love is drawing us to him all the daily. If we do not resist this drawing, we shall be led to the foot of the cross in repentance for the sins that have crucified the Savior. Then the Spirit of God, through faith, produces a new life in the soul. The thoughts and desires are brought into obedience to the will of Christ. I'm finishing up. The heart, the mind, are created anew in the image of him who works in us to subdue all things to himself. Then the law of God is written in the minds and the heart, and we can say with Christ, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Psalms 40, verse 8. And that was in the Desire of Ages, pages 175 and 176. So we can become new. We can be this thing that God wants us to be, this new creation, this new creature, because he's working a good work in us when we come to him. It's possible. So no more excuses. No more excuses. It's not easy. It's not easy, but hey, we can all live a new life when we come to Christ in repentance, because all we have to do is come to him. He'll make the change. Come to him. Pray for the Holy Spirit. Pray for the outpouring of the Spirit, and he will work a good work in us. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also, he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Trustworthy and true. Wow. All things new. How many of us want to be new? We can do this. Hey, we're a family. We're a team. We can do this together. God wants us to be new. He wants us to make new. He wants us to realize. He wants us to realize those dreams, those aspirations that he has for us. He wants us to live that out, and we can do that when we submit ourselves, our will, to Christ. Dear kind and heavenly Father, we thank you for new beginnings. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the ability to be changed. We know it's not easy, Lord. But you promise that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. So we submit ourselves, we submit our wills this day to you so that we can become changed, so we can be renewed, so we can live out this life that you have in store for us, Lord. This is my prayer. I do ask in thy Son, Jesus Christ's name, Lord, for his sake. Amen. Amen. Amen.